Now is the time, episode 62. I'm Caleb Succo, and this is the podcast where we talk about how we can use our lives right now to worship our God. Good morning, dear friends, or good evening, or good day, whatever it happens to be, wherever you are listening to this podcast. Thank you for being there, and thank you from the bottom of my heart for downloading and listening. I appreciate it so much, and we appreciate it so much. I am speaking from Christina's perspective as well. Thank you for just staying with us, and especially for all those out there that have been praying for Ukraine. What a special blessing it has been this month. 30 days of praying for Ukraine. Today is Friday, September 18th, and today marks the 18th day that we've been doing this. It will continue through the end of the month. And hey, if you haven't joined us, I want to invite you to join us. Just go to succofamily.org/September, and you can sign up, at least get the last 10-12 days of praying for Ukraine. Something special happens when you take a focused amount of time, and a particular amount of time, and focus your prayer in one direction. God does something in your heart, and He also works through your prayers. And so if you have not signed up for that, you missed out on quite a lot of special little prayer requests. And I've been just getting lots and lots of feedback from many people. If you have sent me some feedback and I haven't gotten back to you, I try and get back to people. I apologize, but I've just been getting a lot of feedback on that. So that's probably why I haven't gotten back to you yet. So join us for praying for Ukraine this last part of this month, succofamily.org/September. But today, friends, we are going to talk about refugees. And I've talked about refugees before on this podcast because right now we have a ministry with refugees. But I want to talk a little bit more about what the Bible says about refugees. And the reason I want to do this is because I've noticed a disturbing trend. And honestly, I've heard similar statements to the following come out of the mouths of people who go to church. Maybe I shouldn't say Christian, because it makes you wonder when you hear things like, oh, they're just looking for a handout, or don't let them in here. They're going to ruin our economy. They're dirty, and they're going to leave garbage all over the place, and they don't belong here, and they should go back to where they came from. I've heard that from church members, and honestly, it is disturbing to me. And so whether we're talking about, the recent influx of Syrian refugees into Europe, into Hungary, and into Germany, or the refugees that we are ministering to who come from Donbass, I've heard some things about, very negative things about those refugees, even from church members, unfortunately. Or sometimes, let's say, closer to probably most of my listeners who are in the U.S., Mexicans who have fled across the border into the U.S. looking for work and looking for a better life for themselves. I've heard these things that I said there, that I listed, about in the States as well as in Ukraine. And so I think that it's time for us to turn to God's Word and find out, what does the Bible actually say about refugees? And so I've entitled this episode, 9 Shocking Truths About Refugees. And if you want to check this episode out, go to succofamily.org/62, because this is episode 62. But before I get into those actual truths, the nine truths about refugees from the Bible, I do want to share with you a couple of more news items. I already told you about praying for Ukraine in September. Guys, it's coming to an end, but you still have a chance to jump on the wagon and get the last 10, 12 days, depending on when you're listening to this. But I know that most of you listen to it within a day or two of it being published. So go to sukofamily.org/September, okay? And if you're already getting those, you know, just let me know. Send me a little note. Let me know that you're praying, okay? Yeah, another prayer request. We are actually, as I said, working with these refugees. Right now we're planning a special dinner at our church that our church is hosting. And we're going to have about probably around 30 disabled refugees that we'll invite in to our church. Feed them dinner. Going to do a presentation for them about... we're going to have a speaker come in and give them a good presentation from God's Word. We're just going to try and get to know them a little bit better. And at the end, I'm also going to be speaking and I'm going to be inviting them to put their faith in Christ. And so I would really ask for your prayers for that dinner. I believe it's on the 26th. That is, let's see, 19th. Yeah. So on the 26th, so that is a week from tomorrow for me right now. But if you could be praying about that, I really appreciate it, okay? And then also, I appreciate your prayers for our online course coming up. I've shared with you about this recently. Today we were shooting video for it and just been doing a lot of work getting this ready. We're going to be teaching Old Testament survey, and we have a bunch of new students. We have students from Israel, from South Korea, from Russia, from Ukraine, from Moldova, looks like maybe from Germany, from Belarus, all over the world. And this is a very unique chance for them to interact with church ministers from different walks of life, from different countries. And so please pray as we get that, start that class, that course. It's going to be an 8-week-long course, Old Testament survey. And friends, if you'd like to support that course, I really do appreciate that, because it does take some funds to get these things all put together and stuff. And so we could probably use, I think, to really get that course fully supported and ready to go, probably just lacking about $400 or so. So if you want to just jump in and help us with that, that would be great. Just go to sukofamily.org/support, or go to sukofamily.org and just, I think there's a link on the upper right or in the menu there. Okay, that's enough for the news. Let's talk about these nine shocking truths about refugees. So first of all, let's just, you know, who are we talking about when we talk about refugees? Refugees are people who have fled their homes, their native lands, because of some sort of a problem. Maybe it was natural disaster, maybe war, maybe persecution, or some other hardship. And unfortunately, it happens quite often in history. And unfortunately, often when a foreign person comes into a host culture, they're often mistreated by that host culture. Why? Because there's opportunity. They come with practically nothing, no job, no place to live, nothing to eat, and they are completely dependent, at least temporarily, on others. And so, of course, others take advantage of that. And also because I think that just human nature, we fear those people who are different than us. And so refugees are, it's a group of people that are temporarily in desperate need. And they have few options to turn to. And so they need just the basic things of life, like food, water, and shelter. And if we turn to the Bible, if we open up God's Word, we find also a particular group of people that are often referred to or translate. The words are translated into English as strangers, aliens, sojourners, maybe pilgrims. These are foreigners. They are people who are not in their own lands. In fact, for a lot of Israel's life, the nation of Israel, they were basically kind of like refugees. And so The amazing thing is that if you talk about these strangers, aliens, sojourners, or pilgrims, which really fit into this category of refugees, God talks a lot about how we should relate to them. And the first thing that I want to say here, actually, as I researched this in the Bible, honestly, I was really shocked by how often the topic does come up. And it's in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And some of the things that God says are honestly shocking. I'm not just saying that, say, for shock value, but because it is true. Some of these truths are not what you would guess, or I guess not, you know, they don't correspond to our natural tendency when it comes to foreigners. I mean, I even think of how often the conservative party in the United States talks about sealing off the borders and getting all the migrant workers to go home and all those kinds of things. You know, that's kind of a natural response often to refugees or to foreigners that come into your land. But the Bible paints for us quite a different picture. The first truth that I want to share with you is this. Okay, are you ready for it? God kills people who oppose refugees. Yeah, that's what I said. But it's not just what I said. That's what's written in the Bible. So look at what it says in Exodus chapter 22, 21 through 24. God gives specific instructions of how they're to deal with foreigners and refugees and all those kinds of people. And again, here in this translation that I've used, they call them aliens, okay? But it's the same idea. It's somebody who's come from a far land, lacks the basic things of life like food, water, and shelter. And so they're dependent and they have great needs. And this is what God says about them. You shall not be violent toward an alien. You shall not oppress him, for you were aliens in the land of Egypt. You shall not afflict an orphan or a widow. And here's what's interesting. God puts aliens, refugees, in the same category as orphans and widows. Why? Because that is a category of people who are somewhat helpless, and they are in danger because they cannot provide for themselves. They cannot protect themselves. So God puts them in that group. Now, look at what God says further. If you afflict him, so that would be the alien or the widow or the orphan, right? If you afflict him, if he at all cries to me, hearing, I will hear his cry. So God, that means God is going to listen. God is going to respond to the cry of justice or the cry of pain of the refugee or the alien, the orphan or the widow. And what does God say he's going to do? And my anger shall glow and I will kill you with a sword. That's just what the Bible says. I will kill you with a sword and your wives shall become widows and your sons orphans. Okay, so that's pretty serious. And I think that, of course, this is something that God promised to the Israelites, and I think that he's speaking on a national level. So that does not mean that always individually, whenever someone afflicts an orphan, that God ends up killing them. But on a national level, as a country, if the Israelites had a tendency and a prolonged practice of being mean and not gracious and merciful to aliens and widows and orphans and taking advantage of them, that eventually they would be killed by the sword. They would be invaded by another country and their country would be defeated by the sword. And so, but what is most important here is that it shows us God's attitude towards the refugee. It shows us God's attitude towards helpless people. God says, don't oppress them. God says, if you do oppress them, I will oppress you. God stands for them. He protects them. And let's move on to the next truth now. So this is very, very serious stuff, right? Let's move on to the next truth. Truth number two, God loves refugees and he tells us to love them. And there's actually a lot of places that we could look in scripture here. Deuteronomy 10, 17 through 19 is the one that I picked up here where he says, God says Moses says about God, he executes justice for the fatherless and the widow and loves the alien to give him food and clothing. Remember what I said? These are people that have basic needs of food, clothing, and shelter. And you shall love the alien, for you were aliens in the land of Egypt. So God, or Moses here, reminds the Israelites, you used to be like this. The Israelites were refugees, weren't they? They fled from their land to Egypt. Then they fled from Egypt back to their land, right? And God not only says that you should not oppress the alien, but God says, I love the alien. And you should love the alien. God says, I give food and clothing to them. And I think that if God does, then we should also, right? Okay, truth number three. God tells us to be generous with refugees. And there's a number of very interesting passages here. So for instance, Leviticus 19:10 tells the Israelites that they should not harvest or glean their vineyards. That means they shouldn't go pick up all the little leftovers. They should leave some things behind for the aliens and the poor. Leviticus 19:10. Deuteronomy 24:20 says, when you harvest your olives, don't beat all the branches till there's nothing left. It says, leave some on there for the alien and the orphan and the widow. Or the grapes in your vineyard, like I said, just leave a few on there. And also, Deuteronomy 26:12, it says, when you have made an end of tithings and all the tithes of your increase, a third year of tithing, and have given it to the Levite, and we all know that, right? The Levite gets the tithe. Guess who else gets it? The alien, the orphan, and the widow. Now, that was kind of new to me. Like, wait a minute. So the tithe goes to the temple, to the Levites, take care of the Levites in the temple. And the next place it goes is to the refugee and the orphan and the widow. Okay, so we are to be generous to the refugees. Number four, truth number four, God tells us not to have a double standard with refugees. And here, a good example is Deuteronomy 24:17, where he says, you shall not pervert judgment of an alien. So don't have a different standard for them. Leviticus 24:22 says, one judgment shall be for you, whether an alien or a native. So God says, you know what, have one standard and let all be judged by that standard. Truth number five, and this one also, when you start thinking about it, is pretty amazing. God uses refugees to change the world. Just think about it for a minute. Abraham, refugee. He fled from his homeland. He was a foreigner, a sojourner, a pilgrim. The Israelites as a nation, refugees. They fled from their homeland because of famine. And then they were taken sometimes because of war. Who else? How about Ruth? Ruth was a refugee. And she was taken in and seen by Boaz. And because of her faithfulness, Christ was born through her line. What about King David? Do you remember when he had to flee for his life? He actually fled to the Philistines. I mean, he was also a refugee. What about Daniel? He was taken away captive. They were all refugees there in Babylon. What about Esther, also a refugee? And what about this one? Maybe you've never thought about this, but what about Jesus? Do you realize that Jesus was a refugee in Egypt? They fled for their lives to Egypt. So as we look through scriptures, and I'm sure you can find more examples, we find just many, many examples of refugees and how God used those refugees to change the world. All right, truth number six. Refugees are sometimes sent by God. What do I mean by that? Hebrews 13:2, a very, very interesting verse that we all need to pay attention to. Do not forget hospitality, for by this some unknowingly took in angels as guests. Sometimes refugees are angels, and we need to make sure to be hospitable to them. By the way, let's talk about that word hospitality for a minute. Because sometimes we have the false understanding that hospitality means entertainment. And when we say, oh, so-and-so is so hospitable, we mean, oh, when we come over, they have this huge spread on the table and everything's perfect and coordinated and this and that and all the foods are just so well done. That's all great. But when we talk about hospitality in the biblical sense, it's not entertaining guests. It is caring for guests. It is going out of your way to make sure that they are healthy and safe and fed, okay? Which is different than entertaining. When someone comes to be entertained, it's not because they're hungry. It's not because they have no place to live or anything like that. Usually entertaining is quite a pleasant thing to do. Hospitality is work. Hospitality is sacrifice. Hospitality is caring for those people who, for what reason or another, have difficulty or can't care for themselves. Okay, that's the biblical meaning of hospitality. And in connection with that is truth number seven. Church leaders are required to help refugees. Now, how can I say that? Because Paul gives instructions to Timothy where he says that the overseer needs to be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sensible, well-ordered, and guess what? Hospitable. And again, the idea of hospitality is caring for those who can't take care of themselves, and it would definitely include caring for refugees. Truth number eight, we should never complain about refugees. How much complaining goes on? Oh, look at them. They're taking our jobs away. They're ruining our country. They have these weird traditions and all this. People love to complain. They love to put the blame on someone else. But you know what Peter tells us in 1 Peter 4:9? He says, be hospitable to one another without murmurings. Okay? Again, the word hospitality there. That's important. Okay, number nine, the last truth about from the Bible about how we should treat refugees. And this one, friends, is a little bit scary. This one, friends, tells a lot about you and about me. The last truth is this: how we treat refugees is how we treat God. Let me say that again. How we treat refugees is how we treat God. Why do I say that? Well, because Jesus gives us some very clear instruction here. Check out Matthew 23:34-46. I'm not going to read the story. You may remember it, but Jesus gives us a story about how some people will come to him and, or will come to the king and they will say, and the king will say, you can't come in here. And I said, why not? And the king will say, well, because when I hungered, you didn't feed me. When I thirsted, you didn't feed me. When I was cold, you didn't clothe me. And they'll say, well, when did that happen? And he'll say, well, it happened when you saw the very least of the people and you didn't do it to them. And then the others, the righteous, will come and he'll say, welcome into my kingdom. Because you fed me and you gave me something to drink. Let me read Matthew 25:35. For I hungered, and you gave me food to eat. I thirsted, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. So notice carefully. He's talking about these very basic needs. But he also says what? I was a stranger. A foreigner. Okay, this is the same category as refugees. And of course, the righteous answer and they say, well, when did we see you hungry? When did we see you thirsting? And when did we see you as a stranger or naked or all of these things? And what does the king say in response? He says, in as much as you did this for the least of my brothers, you did it to me. So, what happens here is that our relationship, how we conduct ourselves with refugees, with strangers, with foreigners, with people who are in need, is one of the most accurate ways to gauge how we conduct ourselves with God, our relationship with God. So friends, those are 9 truths about, or from the Bible, about how we should relate to these refugees. And I don't know about you, but I find it quite convicting. We are working with some refugees here, right here in Odessa, Ukraine. Refugees from Lugansk and Donetsk. And, you know, it's heartbreaking sometimes to work with them. And sometimes you look at it and you think, maybe I haven't done enough. But folks, we have to open up our hearts. We have to open up our hearts. We have to love them. We have to be generous with them. We have to open up our homes to them. We have to help them where they have these needs. And we have to do it in a way that portrays the love of Christ. And we have to do it in a way that can give them hope. I hope, dear friend, that you will keep those things in mind as you think about refugees and as you think about the strangers and the foreigners and the people in need around you today and what you can do to help them. And friends, I hope that you'll keep us in mind as we minister here in Ukraine, as we minister in churches, and as we minister to refugees. All right, friends, be blessed. And if you can, please join us in praying for Ukraine.